Yeah.
Pick 'em pop, big gun Brian Petrie, giving out the lock. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot, dog lock. That's the underdog, yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pop from MMA takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Welcome to another edition of MMA Basics Podcast. This is a pick'em for Song Yadong versus Chris Gutierrez. Almost forgot his fucking name. What's up with the what's up? Sorry for no video podcast last week. So I think I figured out the problem. This video, so I record, then I edit. I edit the whole thing, the post. File got corrupted. The graphics I use to put like who I pick and all that stuff. I think that file, I got an email from the company I use, blah, blah, blah. I had to re-download a bunch of stuff. So I'm not going to do that on this video just because I need to put a video out. This could be a bare bones, no graphic, no nothing video. I know you guys don't care. I care. I want production quality to be better. I'm looking at other things. That's inside baseball. Anyway, we were audio only last week. I started off hot, ended cold. Down a few unis. I almost said we were hot. Lost the slime ball. Only went 1-for-3 in the slime ball. Lost the green hammer. This week we're feeling confident, a little chalky. I got the old school shirt, the very first, I always do the very first MMA podcast shirt I ever wore or ever bought. I sold these, right? The only other person to buy one was my mom. So we come a long way, boys, but it still fits. It looks good, even though I'm a little huskier than I should be right now. But yeah, we got some fights, not the best card in the world, but we're all trying to get to December 16th, right? I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to December 16th. Unbelievable card on December 16th, the end of year. We got two motherfucking cards left. Next week, I don't care what it takes, got to get the boys one more time during the year. Got to get Christian, got to get Timbo, got to get him back. Timbo can do it while he's mid-murdering somebody. They can be a guest on the fucking stream as well. Doesn't matter, but we're going live next week. We gotta. CC, shout out Christian Costello. I believe he just turned 40 not too long ago. So shout out for him turning 40. But he did his first MMA class yesterday. He texted me. I woke up to a text today that his coach was impressed with his double leg. He had a pretty good double leg. So he's very feeling very good. And I'm feeling very good for him. I think anybody taking mixed martial arts classes or any point in their career or life, excuse me, is fantastic. It's a good workout. You learn some self-defense, some self-confidence. It's great. Christian's got a mean double A. He might be the toughest on the pod now, right? I might be the biggest on the pod. He might be the toughest, though. That dude fuck you up, right? Timbo's like 6'4", right? He's got a sick triangle. He sent me a picture of a buddy, took him down. I think they were like drunk either on a beach or like by a fire or something. His buddy took him down. He fucking slapped on a triangle. Triangled his ass up. So maybe MMA takes charity fight, something. Timbo, Christian, grappling only. Maybe they can throw hands. I don't know. But shout out Christian Costello. Shout out Timbo, too. Just got engaged. Timbo and his lovely girlfriend, now fiance Ashley, just got engaged. They got a beautiful baby boy they had last December. His birthday is December 16th, which I'm not going to be able to go to the birthday party. But shout out Cam. Happy birthday, young man. But yeah, he's getting engaged or he got engaged, excuse me. Wonderful family, wonderful people. I can't wait to go to the wedding and people in Timbo's family, even Ashley's family is like, who's that moon face kid that won't get off the dance floor? Oh, that's just Brian. Cause I love a good dance floor. I love a good wedding. Yeah, it's just who I am. But shout out them. That is amazing. Big advocate on marriage and kids. Big advocate on that. So shout out Timbo. I'm very happy for him. He's a good guy. One last thing before I want to talk about this. One last thing before we get into these picks. We'll run through the picks, give the locks, give it a slime, give the green hammer. I sent out a tweet last Saturday. Sean Brady dominated Kelvin Gastelum. And I said, let me clear something up. Sean Brady did not do this to Bilal and would never dominate Bilal, but something along those lines. Got a lot of feedback, got a lot of pushback. My boy Skynet, don't know his real name, that's his handle. He is always in the live chat, always. He's a loose cannon. I follow him on Twitter. I've seen what he when he tweets at people or he responds to people. Loose cannon, love it. He came at me, which I love as well, because, you know, not everyone has to agree with me. Fun spirit debate, like, oh, you're sucking on the Anik cock a little bit, the Anik family cock a little bit. You know, I got some other hate, and the one guy that did it turned into fat jokes and says, I live with my parents and Cheeto fingers, or whatever that bullshit line is that everyone says online, that I have Cheeto fingers and I live in my parents' basement or whatever like that. And it's like, I can't even dignify as a response. Because number one, believe it or not, even though you're looking at this fucking ripped up body, believe it or not, I don't like Cheetos. I don't like them. Puffy or regular. Don't like them. Flaming hot? Not for me. No, thank you. I'm not a Doritos man, or Fritos or Cheetos man. Doritos, yes. Fritos, not so much. But I'm not even a Cheetos man. And then I've owned my house for 7 years. I'm married with two kids. What are you talking about? Parents' basement. But whatever. I digress. Got a little feedback from that. A lot of pushback on that. The best one, I'll get to Skynet in a minute. I'll get to why I said that in a second. My best one is one guy's like, oh, that's debatable. Well, it's not debatable. Yeah, I mean, it's debatable for a future fight. But it's not debatable now. You know, Bilal is this boring fighter that everyone says. And he went out there and finished Sean Brady. And then Sean Brady became a bum crumb. And then all of a sudden now he's fucking a Stugs. He just dominated Gaslam. My thing is what I said. And let me address something first. I have a relationship with all the Anik family. Jason's a great guy. John, Kenny, Cody, all of us, we text quite a bit. We're buddies, right? Obviously, we're united. Bilal, I've been on the show twice. Remember the show on the Anakin Florian podcast? Quick plug. I've been on the show twice. And then I was on just as a guest to talk about the pay-per-view. And then I was on playing Bronstetter in like a hyper, hyper competitive UFC fucking crazy questions. Go watch that. I mean, if any of you guys had those answers, it's nuts. So I was on both times. And then I met him in Nashville. Great guy, chatted it up in Nashville, hung out a little bit backstage before the weigh-ins. And yeah, we chatted up or whatever. And I was there when he fought Chris Curtis in Valparaiso, Indiana back in the day. And if you look that up on YouTube, things got heated after the bell. Chris almost got murdered because Valparaiso is very close to Chicago, where Bilal's from. But then we've texted afterwards, after we met, about fighting things and about certain MMA media members who we think are fucking rats. But yeah, he's a good guy. So I do have a relationship. But what I said was response to Sean Brady saying he would beat Bilal 9 out of 10 times. The one time he won was the last time he won. He would never win again. I didn't say Bilal would lose to Sean Brady. I think Sean Brady, I understand the point where people are like, dude, you didn't even give Sean Brady flowers. You're not even propping giving him his win. He looked great, right? He dominated. He looked great. Again, people say Bilal's boring. Sean Brady's kind of boring. Go watch the Michael Chiesa fight if we're throwing boring stones. If we're launching boring stones, go watch the Michael Chiesa fight with Sean Brady, okay? Anyway, he looked good. He dominated Kelvin. Kelvin looked in the best shape he's looked in a long time, got exposed on the ground. Sean Brady grappling is on point. What I said was he would not dominate Bilal. Could he beat Bilal? Yeah, down the road, sure. He could beat Bilal. I mean, it's MMA. Anything can happen. But I stand by Sean Brady, regardless of my relationship with Anik and Bilal and all that, and thinking I need to get points and stick up. You know, Bilal has a bigger platform than I do. He doesn't need me sticking up for him or saying what I'm saying. That's just my opinion, right? This is MMA takes. This is my take. Sean Brady would never, fucking never, all caps, dominate Bilal the way he dominated Gaslam. Could he win a fight if they fight again? Absolutely. Of course he could. Would he dominate Bilal? Fuck no. Not even a little bit, right? No chance. It's just the styles make fights, baby. I've been in the game a long time. Ain't no way it's going to happen unless you get a 50-year-old Bilal who's still kicking it and they die, they fight. If Sean Brady, within the next 5 years, fights Bilal Muhammad, this is my promise to you. Within the next 5 years, if Sean Brady and Bilal Muhammad fight, and Sean Brady dominates him, 10-8s him at least one round, because I feel like he 10-8ed Kelvin almost three rounds. If he 10-8s Bilal at least one round, I will get a fucking tattoo on my forehead. I'll put up a vote. You vote what goes on my forehead. I get it. That's how fucking confident I am, okay? I'm a man of my word. That will never, ever happen. So you're coming at me saying I'm sucking dick of the Anakin Florian, I'm hanging on, well, all that, you know, all that, that jokes you guys got. Maybe you can interpret that way. I understand your point, but also cloud your hate for Bilal, which is, I don't understand why there is, and look at what I said and tell me I'm wrong. He's already finished the fucking guy. Finished him. They just beat him 3-round decision, close fight, split decision. He finished him on the feet. First loss ever in Sean Brady's career, Bilal Muhammad. Now, Bilal's getting better. Sean's getting better. They fight again. It ain't. Listen, he ain't dominating Bilal. That's it. Boom. Point blank, period, babe. You know what I mean? You're coming at my next, but deep down, Skynet, I'm talking to you because you're a loyal listener and a loyal watcher. Deep down, there ain't no way you're sitting there saying Sean Brady dominates Bilal. Ain't no way you're saying that with an honest heart. No chance. No fucking chance. Big drink. Got a little hot. Starting to sweat. Let's get into the fight. First fight of the night. We got Rayana Dos Santos versus... I should look this on the computer because this my print-off is a little small. And these names are pretty tough. She's fighting Talita Alencar. I think I nailed that, right? Talita Alencar is coming off a draw on the Contender Series. She only had 4 takedowns. Got outstruck, though. And it was a draw, but unanimous decision. I don't understand how the method here. Don't remember this fight all that much, if I'm being completely honest with you. And Rayana Amanda Dos Santos, she is coming off a Contender Series loss to Denise Gomes, who's a fucking stud. No loss, no there. She didn't get finished, though. So we got 2 Contender Series, not people winning. I think they're kind of low level. We got a girl who's 14-6. We got a girl who's 4-0-1 and Talita 4-0-1. And you got Dos Santos, who is much more experienced. So typically you would lean on the experience, but I'm going to lean on the dog, right? Because not many people know.
Are talking like you know chicks, and I'm the one who knows chicks.
I know chicks, man. And I know chicks in this fight. I really don't. Both of these females are, to me, very similar. A lot of holes, a lot of growth that needs to happen. You got a girl who's got 20 fights. You got a girl who's got 5 fights, right? I'm going to lean with the underdog at +140 on Alencar. Look for it to go to decision. Alencar looks like she has a pretty good grappling game. Landed 4 takedowns. I don't know if her submissions are meeting the expectations of the UFC. She was a submission artist. She had a lot of grappling experience outside the UFC. Hit some submissions early in her career. But when you get to a certain level, the UFC level, unless you're high level, some of these submissions can be avoided by just getting fucking hit in the face. You know what I mean? So hopefully she's getting better, but I like her here at +140. Give me the dog. Next up, Tashura Tyra. Love this guy. Versus Carlos Hernandez. Tyra is a -550. I know that's probably gone up. And then Carlos Hernandez +410. Carlos Hernandez is, with the Contender Series win, he's 1-3 in the UFC. 3-1 in the UFC. What happened to my voice there? His only loss was to Alan Nascimento, who's supposed to fight in this card. He was going to be my absolute mortal fucking lock. He got pulled out. Tim Elliott's in now. But Nascimento's a tough dude. But Carlos Hernandez isn't really out there finishing people. He's a volume guy. His last time out against Dennis Bonder, he landed 102 strikes, 2 takedowns each, unanimous decision win. Before that, Victor Altamirano, he got a split decision win. Before that, Daniel Baez, he got a split decision win. He's not putting anybody away. He's not scaring anybody. There's not a lot of power there. He's a little longer. He's going to use his reach. He likes to take people to the ground, but he's also been taken down before. Nascimento is a legit dude on the ground. Got submitted. Guess who else is a legit dude on the ground? Tashura Tyra. I love this kid. You guys know I root for the Japanese fighters because Japanese, Japanese MMA culture is so rich. I mean, I don't like plane rides, but if I had the money and I had the time, I would go to Japan and experience it. That is something on my bucket list. For sure. But Tashura Tyra, I think, is a legit dude. By submission, +100. Add it to my fucking card. I think he gets him out of there. By decision, +175 isn't horrible. Hernandez is kind of tricky. And Tyra, sometimes in his UFC fights, at least, you know, still very young, sometimes he kind of hunts a little bit for that one thing. And guys, end up avoiding it. And it's sometimes it's not fruitful. First time I ever used the word fruitful in this podcast. Mark that down in your book of a new vocabulary word I got. Give me Tyra. He's my send him home, baby. In the John Anik voice, send him home early. Send him home fucking early. Bubba. I like to assure Tyra big here. He's also going to be a slime ball candidate as well. Send him home, slime ball, by submission plus 100. Load it up. Back the truck up. Load it up. Nothing against Carlos Hernandez. I just don't think he's a killer in there. And I think the only person taken out Teixeira Tyra is a fucking killer. And he's just not one. You know, he could decision him, but let's not play that game. Let's not play that world. Stephanie Egger next up, plus 136 versus Luana Santos, minus 162. I hate to be negative towards women fights. I feel like sometimes there's so many guys, cappers, everybody on the internet that just really dog at women fights. And I don't want to be that guy because some of the best fights that happened last year are women fights. They scrap. They're fucking talented. I love watching a lot of them compete. They're amazing. This fight stinks. Stephanie Egger, you know, we don't know what we're going to get. Is she going to get armbar for back? Is she going to get dominated? Is she going to get kneeboard? I don't know. Luana Santos, a little easy on the eyes. You know what I mean? Is she too easy on the eyes? She's got to win over Juliana Miller by KO. Beat her to pillar and post, but Juliana Miller, again, is sloppy, just walked into everything. It's not a really good gauge of what she is. I'm going to go Luana Santos, minus 162. Again, I know chicks, but I'm more confident in my underdog pick on the fight of the night, first fight of the night, underdog pick, more confident. That's where I know chicks. This is like, I kind of know chicks, right? But give me Luana Santos. She's got the bigger power. Stephanie Egger, too inconsistent. Now, where's the consistency at? She's fought the better competition. She's been in UFC longer. That should matter for something. Plus 136 isn't the worst underdog. And she tends to win fights like this too. So I can see if you want to throw a couple shekels on Stephanie Egger, I wouldn't be surprised or whatever. But yeah, give me Luana Santos, man. Come on. Let's go. Big power. Big power. What we got here? Oh, baby. I love my guy. Oh, man. So my buddy, real quick. Sorry, I just got a text message. My buddy, my best friend. We went to Vegas together for the fights last year. I've known him since second grade. He's my right-hand man. I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast. Maybe I did. He got diagnosed about 2 months ago with colon cancer. It runs in his family. His dad's had it multiple times. Both his grandparents passed from it. His mom has had it. He kind of knew, unfortunately, you know, at 37, he was regularly getting tested in his 20s for colon cancer. He got a colonoscopy. They found a mass and that they assumed, I don't know if they did fully, but they assumed it was cancerous. It was a tumor, small enough tumor. He had a surgery today to remove the tumor and they're going to find out, then they're going to do a bunch of tests. If he's got to do any chemo, any residual effects. The only thing that mattered was it didn't spread. It didn't metastasize and that they could take it out. It was small enough. So he just sent me a text right here. I live, bitch. That's my guy right there. Happy for him. Love you, Steve. Love you, brother. I'm glad you pulled through that, and we'll keep fighting for you afterwards. Hopefully, it's all good. Cause dad's a badass. Where's dad's, like, I think his dad's had it three times or maybe twice with some kind of heart condition. His dad beat all those and just kept on kicking. His dad's a badass. Steve's a badass. Confident. All right, so Luana Santos. Let's move on. Steve Garcia plus 225, the meme machine, which is just the worst fucking nickname. Versus this guy's fucking name. I swear to God, it's tough. Melquizel Costa. I'm gonna go. Is it Costa or Costa? I'm gonna go Costa. This is fights rebooked. I'm not gonna try to pronounce the first name again. They call him Melk. I think his nickname is Melky. I'm gonna go with Melky. I pick Steve Garcia as an underdog. I reviewed the tapes. Steve Garcia is very good striking. His takedown defense on paper is very good. And his name is the Mean Machine, but I don't think he's that mean. I think he's a little bit soft at times. He's been dropped. He's been put out. He's got a good heart. He can fight, but I don't know if his body's willing to fight enough. And I think Costa Melky here can mix things up, takedowns. He landed three takedowns on Austin Lingo, landed over 100 strikes, dominated on pillar post on the ground. I think he can do that with Steve Garcia. As long as he gets to the fight to the ground, I like it. Minus 278 is still a little steep. I switched my pick from a week ago. Typically, when a fighter pulls out, they don't do well when they book it this quick. Steve Garcia pulled out of an illness. They rebooked it like a week later. Typically, the fighter that pulls out and they rebook short within a week or 2 weeks doesn't do well. I'm going by math. That's simple math that I made up in my head. I have no idea if that's true, but it feels like it's right, right? Give me Costa. Give me Melky. Minus 278 is a little steep. Not going to be a parlay piece. I might same game parlay. I might hit some takedown props that they have offered to me on DK. I might hit some striking props. I think it's going to go decision. I think Melky can maybe get out of them late. fun to play around with some props in this fight, but money line, we're going to go Costa. A little high, no parlay piece, and we move on, babe. Next up, Hyung-Sung Park versus, I mean, Hyung-Sung Park versus Shannon Ross. I am shocked that they're giving Shannon Ross another shot. This fight was this fight now was supposed to be in China. A lot of Asian influence on this. It is now obviously in Vegas, the Apex. Shannon Ross, I can see if they want to throw him on like a fucking, you know, goddamn. I mean, look, he fought on two Australian cards. He fought on Makhachev Volkanovski in Australia. Then he fought on Volkanovski Rodriguez in Australia. Like, I believe that was in Australia. Or was that in Vegas? Either way, he's fighting. Yeah, that was in Vegas. He's fighting with other Australian loaded competition. Now he's here in Vegas with, I don't think maybe, I mean, you got Kevin Johnson, who's French, but he's from training on New Zealand. You don't really have anybody else, but he's got three knockout losses in a row. Last knockout loss by Jesus Aguilar was bad. Bad. 17 seconds. The way his back of his head hit that mat fucking scared me. Then under a minute, Clifton Reyes got him. Then he got knocked out by Vincent Salvatore in the second round of the contender series, which was a scrap. This guy's been around for a little bit. Not the youngest guy in the shed, if that's an expression, it is now. And he's going against Hyung-Sung Park, who won the road to the UFC. This dude's just solid. Solid grappler, doesn't let you get up, smothers you, submits you, or finishes you. All his fights on the road to UFC and then into the finals were all finishes. Younger kid, born in 95. Listen, you know, this is a no-brainer. The line's huge, minus 600 versus plus 440. But if you really like losing money and you go, I play the numbers, I've said it a million times, do not play Shannon Ross because what are we doing? But speaking of that, I'm not proud of this. I'm not proud of the Green Hammer tonight. So we're on a bit of a skid on the Green Hammer. We are 500 all year after last week's loss. We are now 16-17-1, one push, 16 wins, 17 losses on the year. Took a few chances, took a couple plus money. We're back to just doing simple. Double chance. Double fucking chance it. We got Hyung-Sung Park, right? Slime ball parlay candidate, giant favorite at minus 600. I got him double chance for a multi-unit. Bet's already placed, 2.6 units. 2.6, huh? 2.6. You want to do it? Right? Take out your dick, measure it. It's going to say 2.6. The finish, Shannon Ross by either KO or submission, minus 330. Now, I know that's high. That's a 3-1 prop play. What are you doing, Brian? You're not even going to win $100. I need a win, okay? Need a win. I was thinking about going 3.3 units, but I didn't, right? I went 2.6. Again, take out your dick, measure it, 2.6. Yeah, I'm not happy about it. I'm holding this fucking hammer. I should have got out a little baby hammer because that's weak at minus 330, but it's a fucking winner. I'm giving out winners. That's what I do, and that's what it is, chunky or not. Minus 330. Ah, put it down. Embarrassed by that. So that's the Green Hammer. Hyung-Sung Park. I keep messing up his fucking name. By double chance on DraftKings by knockout or submission. Minus 330. Oh, I don't like saying minus 330. All right. I got like something in my teeth. You guys would tell me if I had something in my teeth, right? All right, so Hyung-Sung was at plus 124 versus Kevin Jossett, minus 148. So a lot of these fights we picked on Anakin Florian, it's been out for a few days. Again, I say that every podcast. I apologize if you've seen that. Now you're watching me and I'm not saying the same new thing or whatever, but I like Jossett here. I like him a lot more than when I broke it down a few days ago. Hyung-Sung, however they do their names. It, on my paper, it's Hyung-Sung. On this, it's Hyung-Sung. Same thing with Hyung-Sung. On here, it's Hyung-Sung. What's going on, right? Anyway, I'm going to go Hyung-Sung. Big power. Killer Bill Killed. Why did I say that? Kamikaze is this fucking dude, right? Goes into the fire, dropped Ian Garry, took Ian Garry down twice. Is a scrappy fucking dude, and Jossett has that really calm, competitive karate style. He manages distance. He's tall for the weight. Great takedowns. pretty good submission. Still need to polish a lot of that out. Need to buff that shit out a little bit. But I like him here as kind of a medium favorite. Again, this isn't a slime ball because I start liking this pick the more and more I thought about it. It's Thursday now. The more and more I thought about it the later in the week, I like this pick. Song Kanon. Kanon Song can clip this dude and put him out. He's got real power. That's a real possibility. However, I don't know if that's going to happen. I like Kevin Jostedt. I think he has an overall well-rounded game. I like him here. He was almost my mortal lock. I had another mortal lock, which is the next fight. But give me Kevin Jostedt. Might flirt with a finish here because Song Kanon is kamikaze. Kill be killed, babe. Right? Give me Kevin Jostedt. And probably by finish. Let's just, you know what? Let's just see what the finish is. I don't even know if I like submission or TKO yet. Kevin Jostedt doesn't have the biggest power in his hands. Kevin Jostedt by decision minus... Kevin Jostedt by submission is plus 700. I had a plus 900 by submission last weekend. Yeah, I should have recapped that, huh? I shared it. Dustin Stolfoos plus 900 by submission hit last week. Plus 700 is worth a couple sprinkle spritzes. I don't say sprinkle because I don't want to owe Yanni money. A couple spritzes. Yeah, give me Kevin Jostedt by submission plus 700 as well. Let's go. Jung-Yong Park, the Iron Turtle versus Andre Muniz. Jung-Yong Park, minus 175. Andre Muniz, plus 145. I got to take a minute here. Talk about this guy, Ivan, on Twitter. Out of the clouds, this dude, I don't know if English is his first language. He tweets at me, and it's not like aggressive tweeting or whatever. It's just very like matter of fact. He's putting me and Tony Ferguson in tweets together. This guy came out of the blue. He follows me on Twitter, but like, you know, he's been on Twitter since 2012. He's not a fucking troll, but he's, you know, says he's from Toronto. But out of nowhere, he just starts messaging me. So last week, I guess I was a little too critical on Benny Dariush, even though I didn't think I was. I thought it would be a competitive fight. I picked Armand Cesarian. I didn't add any units like Kenny did, but I picked Armand. And I thought I was fairly... Sorry, I got a stroll to get this. I thought I was fairly... I'm going through all the fucking... I mean, this guy tweets at me like a million times. I love it, right? I haven't responded back to him because I don't really know like if he's like real or... Oh, yeah, here we go. We got Eric Thizzle. We changed his name. This guy's a dedicated troll. He was commenting on the Skynet and I a little back and forth on Twitter. And he goes, Sky, this dude sucks. Pull all in the Anik family. Cock any chance he gets. Oh, man. That guy, his commitment is fucking real. I mean, this guy does not stop. God damn it. Sorry, this is taking... Anyway, he criticized me for being very... bullish on Armand. He said, hey, Benny's in shape. Don't know what you're talking about. It's not going to happen. Benny's going to win this fight, right? And then when I lost a bet, that's another thing. When I tweeted that I'm doubling down on Font, right? And I lost. And everyone's like, ugh, this aged horribly. Are you okay? Guys, I lost a bet, right? It's going to happen. I died. What if I won? No one would have commented. I lost. But that's the part of the game. I can take it. Send it to me. You know, I lost a bet. We all do. That's going to happen. But he was very like, so shout out Ivan. What's his name here? Bionews, BIONUCE. His I don't know who this guy is. His picture is a really, really faded glove of somebody. Anyway, very upset that I took Armand over Benny. Commented after the Rob Font loss, was like, are you okay? I almost comment after Armin starts Benny, but I don't want to rub it in. I want to be a class act. I put 5 units on Jung-Yong Park, the Iron Turtle. That's where I'm getting at. Sorry for going so long, goddamn long on this. I wanted to give Ivan his flowers. I went Jung-Yong Park, 5 unis on the Anakin Florian. I think the Iron Turtle's poised. I think he's going to run into Bo Nickel next year and get fucked. Absolutely fucked. But I thank him here. Against Andre Muniz, who's really struggling to find what kind of fighter he is. Is he good on the ground? Kenny Florian said it best. Is he good on the ground? Did he full assault? What's happening? Because he got some minis getting beat up on the ground. So anyway, picked Union Park. He was, Benny, you got it. And he just tweeted at me, the massive bet on Union Park. Andre Muniz comes in twice the shape, has twice the experience, 3 times the submission wins. Park is mostly stationary, has slow leg kicks. That was his comment. Song is going to, okay, that was a different one. So he does not like my Junior Young Park pick, and he was wrong about Benny Dariush. So what I'm trying to tell you is load the fuck up on Junior Park, the Iron Turtle. We're going Oppo of Ivan. We're going Jung Young Park. I like him here. I think he has to avoid the ground in the beginning. Munez looks a little leaner. Maybe he's taking some muscle off because his cardio was absolute dog shit. But Jung Young Park's a bull. It's got a good chin. His striking is there. It's not like world class, but he does hit pretty hard, right? And then he takes people down and he beats them up. He's got some submission wins. Don't play on the ground with Munez. Keep it on a few because Munez's striking is god-awful. It's pushy, pushy, pushy. And give me Junior Park 5 units. Mortal lock play, baby.
It ain't got no...
Damn it.
I did that. Mortal lock demon. I got to switch those buttons because I keep hitting it. No gas in it.
But I guess it can work because I'm your Munez.
It ain't got no gas in it.
It ain't got no gas. So give me Junior Park, mortal lock. Let's fucking go. Slime ball parlay, candidate number 2. All right, next up, you got Nasrat. Oh, excuse me. Did we switch it? Yeah, fuck it. We'll go Nasrat. Nasrat Haparaz. He is a -205 favorite. Dami Malaki. He's a +180. So what I have done, and I haven't done this officially for the Anakin Florian show because I'm in such a lead and I would like my guy Kennedy to catch up if he even possibly could, right? So I'm not going to officially switch my pick on the Anakin Florian. I'm not going to text the group. I'm not going to tweet it out. But if you're watching this show and you've watched that show, which I'm assuming you have, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm switching 2 picks. Here's the first one. I'm going Jamie Mullarkey, dog lock.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
I don't like it. You got to be uncomfortable being uncomfortable. Jamie Mullarkey's a guy who I think can get clipped, but Nasrat Haparaz does not have any fucking power. One knockout, one finish in the UFC. He's got speed. He says Jamie Mullarkey's gun shy. Jamie's got the length. He can mix in takedowns. It could be a very, very close fight. I have no other dogs in this. I'm not going to give all chalk. Give me Jamie Mullarkey at the dog, +180. I like that. Kenny picked Jamie Mullarkey. I had Nasrat Haparaz. I have since switched to Jamie Mullarkey. That's official, but not official with Anakin Florian. I know it gets confusing, but if you rock with me, no, I will be betting Jamie Mullarkey. And then I said this on the Anakin Florian pod, and I'm saying it now. I like split decision. Fight to be cited by split decision is going to be a, let's find out that number, huh? I got a fucking computer in front of me. We'll find that out number, huh? That's what you're here for because I like that a lot. Over 2.5. I mean, listen, over 2.5 -200. I don't know if you can chase that. Let's see. Fight to be won by split or majority decision. Yes. +450. Add it to my fucking card. I know it's not like the best number we're going to get in the world, but I like it. Mullarkey is inconsistent, but he's scrappy. He's old cement head. Sometimes he can take it. Sometimes he's not. Nasrat's not known to be a power puncher. He's got quick combinations. He's in and out. His cardio has improved. His shape has improved. Jamie mixes it up more. You know what I mean? He's training with a great camp down there. Give me Malaki +180, but winner by split, majority decision, any one of them. You can even pick, like, hey, I think Nas, I think Jamie's going to win by split decision. Dog locks. I didn't take any other dogs. All right, next up, Sumajari. Sumajari, +124 versus Tim Elliott, -148. This line of mine came up. I got these right hot off the press when they came out. Sumajari was in the fight of the year, essentially, with Matt Schnell. Had Matt Schnell in all kinds of trouble. Big power on Sumajari. Couldn't finish him. Got triangled in the second round after he blew his wad. Unbelievable performance. Matt Schnell's comeback was unreal. Sumajari took some shots, but did that take a lot out of him? I love Nascimento in this spot. I thought Nascimento was going to smother him, submit him, break him down. Sumajari is, he's well-rounded enough, but he's not the most well-rounded guy, right? He wants to keep the fight on the feet. He can wrestle and grapple a little bit, but when you get a guy like Nascimento, who's just so heavy on top, you get Tim Elliott, who's also a grappler. So styles haven't changed too much to Sumajari. Tim Elliott isn't heavy on top. He takes you down to let you get back up. But once you get tired from all the crazy grappling exchanges, that's when he wears on you on top. I like Tim Elliott here at -148. I don't love it. I like it. Tim coming off a close loss the last time out, taking us on short notice. He's staying in shape. He's staying motivated. I think if, you know, he's careful on the feet and he grapples well and he pushes the pace like he normally does, I think he can get the W here. Going to be a decision fight. I like the over as well. Unless it's crazy, I have not looked at it. The over, not available. Tim Elliott's at -125 right now in DraftKings, so you're getting even lower of a price. He opened higher. Money's coming in on Sumajari. Give me Tim Elliott. You know what? At -125, I do like it now. I do like it a little bit better. So that is a fight I will be playing. No parlays, anything like that, but give me Timmy Elliott. Give me Timmy Elliott, right? I root for him. After what happened to him with his wife and his best friend, fuck, man, I got to root for the guy. If it was me, that happened to me, jail. I mean, my best friend's murdered, right? And I'm in jail. That's what would happen to me. So props to Tim Elliott for having some kind of control there. Jeez Louise. All right, next up, co-main event, Anthony Smith. Old Anthony Schmidt versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. Anthony Smith's a plus 190. Khalil Roundtree Jr. is a minus 230. Again, here's my second official switch. I picked Anthony Smith on the Anakin Florian because I needed a dog. I watched Anthony Smith interviews. I've seen Khalil Roundtree's interviews. Anthony Smith's like, I like doing crazy shit, blah, blah, blah. I think he'll be motivated until he gets hit. Khalil Roundtree hits so fucking hard. And all Khalil has to do is let it go. Sometimes he's frozen. In the machine practicing a fight, frozen. A little bit of a go. Kick, punch, repeat. Stuff, kick, punch, repeat. Stuff, you get the point. So I'm switching to Khalil Roundtree. I like Khalil Roundtree here. I think he'll win. I wish you could bet TKO by leg kicks. I think Anthony Smith is just going to get chewed up. Khalil Roundtree doesn't throw like a million leg kicks. He mixes his kicks up well. He doesn't spam them. But I think with Anthony Smith, you have to spam. You have to just kick that leg because he ain't checking it. He ain't doing nothing about it. So kick the shit out of him. You know what I mean? Give me Khalil Roundtree. Almost threw him in the slime ball, but I got a little special slime ball plan. So I did not throw him in a slime ball, but minus 230 is something I'm gonna play. I like him by knockout as well. Anthony Smith by submission is the only other play for me, right? So over 1.5 is minus 105, under 1.5, minus 25. Well, so Vegas doesn't even know what's gonna happen in this fight. So Anthony Smith by submission plus 600. That's a good fucking number. Hey, I ain't gonna lie, that's a good number. Anthony Smith's got a good triangle. He's good off his back. Khalil Roundtree, we haven't seen much of him there. Khalil Roundtree by KO. Minus 135. Khalil Roundtree by submission plus 1600. And then by decision plus 550. Man, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm rocking with Roundtree, but I can't promise you if you're in the MMA betting chat group or whatever the fuck it's called on DraftKings, which they won't let me add anybody else. But if you're in that and you see a bet from me by Anthony Smith by submission, it's 6-1, babe. You know what I mean? It's 6-1 play, but the official pick is Khalil Roundtree. I think he wins by knockout. We're not getting great juice on that. So, yeah, main event, Song Yadong, minus 395. Let me see if that is currently accurate. Minus 380, plus 300, Chris Gutierrez. This fight had my head in a pretzel a little bit. I think Chris Gutierrez is super technical, great leg kicks. He's needed this shot. He's won it this shot. He's earned his shot for a main event. But, man, Song Yadong, his last time out, and I feel like he's just continuing to get better, has been just a fucking wrecking ball. The guy's got a chin on him. He's got cardio on him. Big, big powers. Takedown defense is becoming really good. Now that Chris is going to really mix in the takedowns, he's going to have to leg kick Song. He's going to have to slow him down to combat leg kicks. Chris has great movement, right? Moves back, side to side well. Back mainly. Back cuts angles. That's how he opens up his leg kicks. Song is going to march forward to stop leg kicks. You got to close the distance, and you got to throw something after a leg kick. And Chris Gutierrez brings his chin back a little bit, and Song is quick enough and is with a good enough camp to know this guy's gonna leg kick the shit out of me. You have to throw something after a leg kick, especially if it's a naked leg kick. If he doesn't set it up, you got to throw a right hand. You got to throw a left hook. You got to close the distance. Song is going to be on his ass from the get-go. I like Chris Gutierrez. I think he's a good striker, but I think in this fight, his slow pace and his technicality, everything being so perfect, Song is just going to run through him. Big power, been in the experience, drown him in 5 rounds. I've seen Chris slow down in 3 rounds. Give me Song Yadong. Late stoppage. Slime ball candidate right there. That's it. That's the card, babe. Thanks for rocking with me. Let's go slime ball parlay. Actually, let's recap the locks. Dog lock, Jamie Malaki, mortal lock. Jung Young Park, the Iron Turtle. Mortal lock, and then send him home as Tachura. Tyra Greenhammer is Hung Sung Park to win by either submission or KO. Minus 330. So, I hate saying that. And that's the Greenhammer. 2.6 units on that. Did I mention that? And slime ball parlay. Again, sorry, no graphics. We're bare bones in it this week. Hopefully by the new year, we'll get some shit figured out. Next week, we're live. Slime ball parlay. Four-legger. I caught the fucking samurais. the samurai slime ball, because we're going with all Asian fighters here. You got Song Yadong. That's one leg. You got Jung Yong Park. Yeah, that's two legs. You got Hung Sung Park. Yep, two Korean guys in there. Both last name Park. Boom. That could just the Central Park part. I don't know. There's a lot of ways. But the samurai, slime ball, and then the final leg is Sashura Taira. That's four legs. Comes out at plus 174. Not the juiciest, because we got a lot of fucking chalk in there, but we're looking for a win. It's plus money, almost 2-1 on your money. The samurai slime ball. Yeah, gonna get it done. Boom, that's it. Subscribe to the channel. Rate and review on iTunes. I always say iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You guys are killing it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Go follow me, Brian Petrie MMA, on Instagram, on Twitters, johnanick.com for merch. Go watch the Nick and Florian podcast if you don't already. You guys are the best. And yeah, man, that's it. That's it. That's the show. What are you gonna do?
Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Let's make some picks with our man Brian Petrie.